You know, there's an old spiritual that just says, fix me, Jesus. Fix me for my long white robe. Fix me for my journey home. Fix me for my starry crown. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. And so I'd like to maybe let that be the overarching title of the message. Because in a gospel like this, we see how the Lord has care for the vine, and we the branches on the vine. Now here, though, we have to kind of rescue the word care from kind of sentimental notions. Many people today think of care only in terms of things like, well, God feeds me, he takes care, he gives me air to breathe, or, you know, care involves positive, pleasant things. But, brethren, care often involves also some difficult and painful things. Any of you have ever raised kids, you know what I'm talking about now. You take good care of your children, you feed them, you clothe them, you give them a place to live, and so on. But you also have to go to work and do the painful things. Get them up in the morning when they don't want to. Work with them and say to them, this far but no further. Punish at times, correct, reprove. See, what's happened is, and we've talked about this before, but we tended in our culture to reduce love to kindness. And anything that is perceived as unloving or unaffirming is thought to be unloving, even hateful. But true love wants what is best, not merely what is expedient or pleasant in the moment. True love desires the best. And true care involves getting us ready for the best. Not simply the merely good or what I perceive as pleasant and good now. And so the Lord, when he cares for the vine, actually gives us some images today. And one of them is very harsh. It's about pruning. It means cutting away. It's painful. And so as we look at a passage like this, a parable, let's see how the Lord cares for the vine, which is his very body, and also for we, the branches on the vine, and see what the Lord needs to do for us to get us ready. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, though, about this vine is, and we're looking now as the vine that now that we as disciples are branches on the vine, and the first thing that we want to see is the purpose, if you will, of disciples. And that is, as the text says very clearly today, that we would bear abundant fruit, that we would bear the fruits that God intends for us. Now, what are some of those fruits? I'll just say it in a word, is holiness. But let's unpack it a little bit. We know that in, for example, in Galatians chapter 5, we have a list of some of those fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, or justice, or righteousness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, chastity, continence, or self-control. They're all listed, at least 12 fruits there and other places in the Scriptures as well, that we should bear the fruit of forgiveness, mercy, love of the poor, reaching out to those who are struggling. We should bear the fruits of holiness, justice, love. Those are the fruits the Lord is looking for. But listen, the greatest fruit he's really looking for and preparing us for, it's the fruit of glory. The fruit of being with him one day, forever, in the glory of heaven. A glory so great that he says, I can't even describe it to you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's never dawned on us of the glory, oh, that God has waiting for us. And that is the real fruit that he's preparing for us. And in order to bring it about, he has to go to work. And so we'll see that in a minute. But do you see, first of all, if you're a disciple, you're a branch, if you will, on the vine, and the Lord wants you to bear the fruits that he's looking for, not simply for our sake, but for the sake of others, but ultimately for the glorious fruit of being with God forever in a joy that is unspeakable, a joy that cannot even be told. Oh, the Lord is looking for you and me to enjoy that fruit. Now, I don't know, that kind of deserved a little more of an amen. I'm just kind of seeing here like y'all looking like you're in a classroom today or something, you know? Do I need to come out of this pulpit? All right. So listen, that's the first thing we want to see. That the first thing that the Lord wants for disciples is that we have the produce, if you will, that He is looking for our sake and for the sake of others. Now, in order, though, to accomplish this fruit, then we see two other things that the Lord speaks about that He needs to, if you will, go about in our life. If we're to have this produce of disciples, then we need to experience the pruning of disciples, and we also need to experience the presence that He wants to give us of discipleship. And we'll look at these now. First of all, the pruning. Now, the Lord is speaking to us here about a grapevine, and the need for a grapevine, if it's going to bear fruit and bear it abundantly, to be pruned regularly. Now, I don't know much about grapes, but I do know about my roses out front. Now, you've seen my roses? My roses are looking good right now. They're just about ready to burst forth, and they're much rich foliage, and I gave them some good rose toner and some food, and got to work on the disease part and keep the diseases away that are so prevalent in this climate. Nevertheless, I work on those roses day in and day out. I'm out there, and I don't spend a long time each day, but I go out each day, look for signs of disease. I feed them, I water them, and I prune them. Now, especially as they begin to bloom, they're going to need more pruning. And in November, I prune them way back. And I want you to know, I do that because I want those roses to be beautiful. I want the fruit that a rose bush ought to have to be beautiful, to be glorious. And so I go to work and I prune. Now, who of you would accuse me of doing something wrong? And yet, so often we're that way with God, aren't we? What are you doing? Why do I have to suffer? Why does anyone have to suffer? Why do you do this hard work when God has to prune and cut away things in our life? You know, brothers and sisters, we often fall into several traps. Sometimes we think that certain things are good for us that are just plain evil. But other times, we think there are things that are good for us, but we have them in too great of an abundance. And they weigh us down. And what is merely good eclipses what is best. And so the Lord needs to go to work and prune and cut away some of these things. And this work we call of His pruning is just that work to help us to learn that whatever good things we have here and whatever evil things we endure, they are temporary, but we are being called to something far greater than any joy that this world could ever dish out. And the Lord says, don't become too weighed down. I sometimes need to prune away. First of all, obviously the evil things in your life are mine, but He also needs to prune away even the good things that we excessively desire and we struggle with because they start to weigh us down. Some of us start to put on a little of the pounds and all the other stuff that comes with it. Food is good, amen? Amen. Too much food? Well, not so good. See? And so it is, the Lord goes to work. Now, we see therefore the purpose of disciples is to bear fruit. In order to bring this about, the Lord at times needs to work in pruning. Now, how does He prune? Well, the first thing the Lord says here, very confidently about us, I don't know if we deserve this confidence, but the Lord says this, you are already pruned because of the word that I've spoken to you. Well, are you? Am I? You know, this is what we say in biblical theology is something called a proleptic. And a proleptic means something that God says, He's going to the end of the story and the full effect of His word, and He's kind of pulling it back into the present. Because frankly, I got news for you. Just hearing a word from God, there is absolutely nothing insufficient about the word of God, but there is something insufficient about my hearing. I don't always hear it so plain, and not just my hearing, come on now. We have stiff necks, necks of iron, foreheads of brass. We are a hard case. Now, you who have raised kids know, shouldn't it be enough for you to say to your kid, look, don't do that. So there's a word that prunes away some bad tendencies. Amen? No, it doesn't. You can't just tell them. Sometimes they're not going to listen. Sometimes they're not going to understand you. And so you have to go to work and do more. But you see, the first thing the Lord says is the first way I want to prune in your life is just give you my word. Now listen, brothers and sisters, we call this in, again, spiritual theology, the purification or the mortification of the intellect. We got a lot of stinking thinking up here in our brain. We got a lot of worldly ideas, bad priorities that are not God's ways. My ways are not your ways. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. But we go on and we listen to, we say, ooh, something new. And we need a lot of purifying to be done in our intellect. And so if you will stay with God's word and read it and study it and seek to apply it in your life, that's a kind of a pruning. It prunes away some of that stinking thinking, some of those errors, or some of those excessive notions where we have a grasp of something that's good, but we absolutize it, or we fail to understand it in the light of God's wider glory. And so you see, a lot of work needs to happen, and that's why a steady diet of God's word is absolutely necessary for us. To prune and mortify or purify, clean our intellect. Now look, our brains are like a sponge. Now don't kid yourself. If you put a sponge in muddy water, it's coming out muddy. Now how do you clean that sponge? Well, you put it in clean water and you wring it out. And you put it back in the clean water and you wring it out. And you put it back in the clean water and you wring it out. You keep working. And your intellect gets clean and pure. And you try to avoid the muddy water. Amen? Now, what's the clean water? Well, got it right here. It's God's word, see? It's his teachings. Now, look. The first way the Lord wants to prune in our life is he says here, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. In other words, everything you really need, if you would just listen and apply in your life what I teach you, so much pruning would be just taking place right there. Now, frankly though, and you've raised kids, and you know that usually for us, sadly, one day our parents' words will have an effect and it'll start coming out of our own mouth. Hello. But until that time, additional prunings and things are sometimes needed. And so it is with us. God's word will have its effect, but not yet fully for us. So God also needs to do some other kinds of pruning. And what would they be? Well, brothers and sisters, we talk about two types of purifications that God would have us experience. One of them involves us. We call these active purifications. So, for example, when a few of us, not me, of course, but put on the pounds. We learn how to perhaps diet or reduce the calories or eat better, more healthy foods or what have you. Do a little more exercise. And that's a kind of what we would call an active purification. Or sometimes in Lent, when Ash Wednesday comes, you're asked to consider something. Give up something or take something on as a kind of a way of engaging in purifying yourself and learning self-discipline, you see. And so we call these active purifications. And the Lord encourages us to do these things. He summons us to fast. He summons us to holy works and almsgiving. The Lord summons us to these active purifications, you know. One way to stop your greed is to just give away some stuff, you know, give it away till it hurts a little. It's an active purification. It's a kind of a self-pruning that takes place. Once again, I got news for you. None of us are going to do enough of that. We're just not going to do it. It's good that we do it at all, and we should do it, but I got news for you. We're in much worse condition than most of us think. And so the Lord needs to engage in what we call passive purifications. These are the purifications that God undertakes in our life, or difficulties that he allows us to experience. He himself does not do them, but he allows them in our life as a kind of a pruning. Now, let me give you an analogy to show you why active purifications are never going to be enough, the stuff we do. Could any of you ever perform an appendectomy on yourself? You say, that's gross, Father. No, you couldn't do it. First of all, you can't see clearly enough to do it, all right? And we don't really see clearly enough our real condition to really know what we need. But God does. But one way reason we can't do an appendectomy in ourselves is that we can't see clearly enough to do it. But here's the other reason. You will never put yourself through that kind of pain. You're just not going to do it. You just need somebody else to take care of that for you. Amen? And so it is with God. We're not really going to simply, we're a little too stubborn to just obey his word. And he says, well, try additional prunings and mortifications to help yourself. All right, but we're never going to do enough. So then God finally has to go to work and take out his pruning shears, and he has to go to work. And church, I'm going to just tell you, some of the things he has to do is painful. Stuff we would never do to ourselves. But God has to let us endure it, and some of the things are very painful. Sometimes the loss of a relative or a loved one. Sometimes the loss of a job. Just perhaps grief or sorrow or a period of anxiety or difficulties, or where someone that we were really trusting disappointed us, or perhaps where we've been abused or mistreated. And God allows some of these things. He does not do them so much as he allows these difficulties. It's a kind of a pruning. And then there's other things that maybe aren't quite as severe, just what we might call inconveniences and annoyances, and like long sermons, you know, and pews that aren't padded and things like that. Little ways that God prunes and cuts away, helps us to become less attached to lots of creature comforts and excessive pleasures of this world. Now, brothers and sisters, let's just admit, come on, we need this. You know, we need these things. And you might say, well, I don't know. Do I really need them? Yeah, just trust me, you need them. Now, look, I'll just tell you something. One of the reasons we need pruning is that we are a remarkably glorious part of God's creation, we human beings. The angels are above us, but of all of God's creation, we are one of the most glorious. We have these incredible intellects. We have this capacity. Look at the technologies we've built. Look at our skills. We've been to the moon and back, for heaven's sakes. Even they used slide rulers. You know, they didn't have a lot of computers in those days. And we got to the moon and back. And now with all this technology and these computers, and most of you don't even know how your watch works. You know, but we do that stuff, right? So who wears a watch anymore, Father? Well, if Apple has its way, we're all going to be wearing them. But look, we're pretty... The gifts we have as human beings, collectively and individually, are amazing. We're glorious in God, the creation of God. But you know what? We're so gifted that if we didn't have a few things to trip us up and keep us humble, we'd be so proud we'd just go right to hell. You know? Now look, God knows what we need. We are gifted, but they are gifts. And all these things we do have, we've received them from God and through others. But my brothers and sisters, pay attention. We need these purifications. We need God to prune in our life. And painful though it is, and difficult, it is one of the ways that God cares for us. He consoles us, yes. He feeds us. He gives us good things, yes. But he also gives us challenges. He gives us, allows struggles in our life. He's pruning, cutting away. Cutting away at our pride, cutting away at our excessive desires, cutting away at the errors, cutting away diseased parts of us. He's like a surgeon who has to go to work finally with a scalpel. It just is necessary. So the Lord is looking for this produce, the glory of heaven. But in order to accomplish it, he needs to prune. That's the first thing that God says, to get us ready to bear this fruit now and bear it one day gloriously with him forever. The Lord, first of all, has to prune. And then the second thing the Lord wants us to do in terms of getting ready is to be deeply rooted in a relationship of presence with him. That he is to be present in our life, and we are to be present to him in an abiding relationship. And so the Lord says here in this gospel, he says, remain in me. Now, that's a valid translation of the Greek here, mainate, but I would say abide really captures it more. You can remain somewhere a half hour, but to abide means to habitually dwell, which is really what the Greek text is getting at more. The Lord is saying, habitually dwell with me. So he says, abide in me as I abide in you. And just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so it is that apart from me, you can do some things. Whoops, that's not what it says. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide with me. If you want to bear the fruit that I have for you, let me go to work and prune, but do this. Abide with me. Remain. Stay in this relationship with me. Work with it. Pray every day. Study my word. Stay close to me. Don't give your heart to another. Give your heart to me. Give me your mind. Don't spend 15 hours a week watching the tube. Spend 15 hours praying with me and studying my word. But you give me your mind, you give me your heart, and stay close to me, and let me stay close to you. Don't push me away. Stay, abide, remain, and I will bring about in you a glorious fruit. You will begin to discover holiness coming about in your life. You'll begin to see sins put to death. You will begin to see and understand that there are gifts you thought you have now you never dreamed you'd have. You will become more confident, more serene, more loving. Why, you might even love your enemy when it's all said and done. And if you don't, you'll go to hell. Because if you don't learn to forgive, says the Lord, my Father won't forgive you yours. So you see, the Lord says, look, you come to me. I want to give you a new mind and a new heart, and I want to abide in you. And I tell you, as I abide in you, you will produce abundant fruit. But beware, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you see, what happens though, is we say, well, amen, amen. But instead of really doing it, we just dabble in it. You know? God's on the list, but kind of down on the list. You know, other things like career or my favorite TV show or what the baseball guy is saying or some Hollywood thing. These tend to be higher on many people's lists. I pray none of yours. But you see the idea. What happens is we dabble. We come, you know, the old saying, some go to church for to sing and shout. But before 6 months, they's all turned out. You know, you can do something for 6 months, but the point is the Lord is saying, stay with me in this. Journey with me. Abide. Remain. Stay. Be consistent in your spiritual practices. Pray every day. Read scripture every day. Get to church every Sunday. Receive the sacrament of Holy Communion every Sunday if possible. And regular, frequent confession. You stay with me. And then here comes the final one. Fellowship. Holy fellowship. You know, I'm going to just tell you, there is something glorious about what we do every Sunday. And I would not be the man I am today if it were not for you. You have sung the beautiful songs of Zion to me. You preached the gospel to me with your life. You have taken me in. You've trained me up and you turn me out. You can't shut me up now. But you're responsible for it. I've told you this before, but I'm going to say that for you, I'm your pastor. With you, I'm your brother. And from you, I am your son. The Lord has gifted me with greater love, greater devotion, greater zeal for his word. I could go on the list. And he gave me those gifts, but he gave them through you. And that's why I say to you, do not neglect holy fellowship. In your staying close to Christ, you got to stay close to his body. Well, where's his body, you say? Look around. And this Holy Communion we're going to receive makes that strength of his body even more unified. So, brothers and sisters, holy fellowship, find good, holy people that will help you and hold you accountable and keep you close to Christ. You stay close to him in your own private prayer, in liturgical prayer like this. You stay close to him in his word, both by reading it yourself and having it preached to you. And then, again, the sacraments and holy fellowship. And so the Lord says, look, I have an incredible produce to produce in you. I have an incredible fruit that I'm looking for. And it's on the way, we call it holiness. We call it all the great works of that I have for you to do. But at the end of the day, what I'm really after in your life is for you to reap the harvest of being with me in glory forever, with joys unspeakable, glories untold. Oh, that's my work in your life, says the Lord. That's the produce I'm looking for. And so let me prune. Let me prune you with my word. Let me prune you with some of the difficulties and hardships in life. And let me also go to work in your life and keep you close to me. And you stay close to me. And together we're going to produce this great harvest. In due season, there will be an abundant harvest. And you say, Lord, whatever pruning it took, whatever persisting it took in relationships and making the journey, Lord, it was worth it. It was worth it. And so today, I simply say to you, fix me, Lord. Fix me. Do what it takes, Lord. Please be gentle if you could. But if you can't and you need to be hard, then do it. But Lord, do fix me, whatever it takes. Fix me for my long white robe. Fix me for my journey home. Fix me for my starry crown. Amen.